Hello, I'm Pastor Joe coming at you from Locust Grove Church, and it is a privilege on this bitterly cold day to be able to come into your homes, the warm confines, I pray, of your home and share God's Word with you. Last week, we began a series that I've entitled Love, Mercy, and we'll look at the scripture from whence I take the title. But suffice it to say that this is going to be somewhat an extensive series that will help us to truly understand what loving mercy in our lives is all about and how it manifests or should manifest as we have interactions with others. So let's begin, first of all, with a word of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gorgeous day, Lord. It is bitterly cold, but it's in keeping with the season of winter. Thank you, God, that you love us so much and you've given us your word, you've given us your Spirit. We ask that you teach us by your word and by your Spirit and help us to cultivate mercy in our lives, Lord. We thank you for this in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. All right. Well, I would encourage you to take your Bibles with me and open them to the book of Micah, chapter 6, please. The book of Micah. Micah is a minor prophet. You know, those smaller books of the prophets that are found toward the middle of your Bible or kind of toward, leaning toward the New Testament. They minor prophets can be a hard thing to find in your Bible, but or a major problem to find in your Bible, but they can be found. And so we're going to look at our foundation text for this series in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And I'm going to just go ahead and jump into it. He has shown you, O man, he, referring to the Lord, has shown you, O man, what is good. Okay, the context of all of this here is what does the Lord require from my life? What does the Lord require from your life? And so, you know, I'm thankful that the Lord only gave us three things. He could have given us the 613 moral laws that existed under the old covenant. And thank God, who's thankful with me that we don't have to keep 613 because I can hardly remember six. Okay. So he says here, he has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? Number one, to do justly. In the context there is talking about our fellow person, neighbor, to treat them right in the eyes of God, to protect their dignity, to save their pride, to always do good to them and to respect them and to treat them the way the Lord wants for us to treat them. In that context, do good, do justly. Number two, to love mercy. Number three, to walk humbly with your God. Now, it is important that we look at the number two again. We're going to do just a little bit of review because, sincerely, we don't have the time to cover all the many different facets that we did. Kind of, I gave a prospectus of the subject, kind of like a bird's eye view, if you would, and see the topography of this subject and the many different directions that we'll be taking throughout the coming weeks. But it says here to love mercy. I looked up that entire verse of scripture in the Hebrew language, and the way it reads in the Hebrew language is to have a covenantal loyalty to mercy. Now, we talked about covenants last week, and I want to just refresh our memories, you know, on this week, because, you know, we don't always retain everything we hear. In fact, I think it's only 10% of what we hear we retain. So, you know, covenants are not common to our modern day 21st century reality, but they were and in some countries to this very day they still are very real. It is a sacred pact when two tribes, Aborigines tribes in the far-flung corners of the earth, come together to make a sacred pact. Always a covenant was always made from the higher to the lesser, from the greater tribe to the lesser tribe. And so you know, because the lesser tribe had nothing to bring to the table. The greater tribe did. They had all the resources. They had the protection. They had the warriors. They had the army. They had the weaponry. And so they, for whatever reason, they struck a covenant with the lesser tribe. And they said, look, if you do this for us, then we'll do this for you. And it was not like a contract where we can weasel our way out if you have a good enough attorney nowadays. It was something that your life depended on it. It was your word. If you did not keep your word, if you did not keep your bond, then you were dead. And that's the way, you know, Old Testament covenants were like as well. We're gonna look at that down the road of how the Lord made a covenant. Listen carefully. I'm just going to give you a little teaser trailer here. The Lord made a covenant with himself. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Take a country whiff. So there was no getting out. There was not hiring an attorney when you were in covenant. Your life depended on it. So let me ask us a question, myself included. Does our life depend on us showing mercy? Do we have a covenant loyalty to mercy? Are we loyal to mercy? Or is mercy just a feel good emotion when I'm in the mood, when I wake up on the right side of the bed and I feel good and life is good, the sun is shining, it's above freezing temperatures, and then I'll show mercy? You know, that's a moody kind of mercy, and I don't have use for a moody kind of mercy, because quite frankly, how many of y'all would agree with me that the Lord does not show us a moody kind of mercy? How many of us would be around if the Lord was moody with his mercy toward us? None of us would we? None of us would be around, because the Lord has a covenant with us, has made a covenant with us, and he is merciful to us, hell or high water. And that's how we should have a covenantal loyalty to mercy. Now, let me expand this thought, and I'll say it in a different way, and I pray that this would stick with us, and we could use this as a measuring stick to make it, break it down even further and to make it even more concrete to our minds. And that is that, you know, if I'm going to err on the side of judgment, or if I'm going to err on the side of mercy, I always will choose mercy to err in. If we're going to lean on one side or the other of the spectrum of judgment or mercy, then I'd rather lean on the side of mercy continually. Well, why is that? There are many, many reasons. In fact, go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I've got a really good message today, and it's just things that'll help us, little prompters that'll help us to love mercy, to have a covenant loyalty to mercy the way you and I need to, myself included. All right? 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading with verse 12. Paul the Apostle here says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although," listen carefully, verse 13, "I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man," or a violently arrogant man. That's what the word insolent means. He was a violently arrogant man. How many of y'all have mercy toward arrogant people? I need help in that department, okay? And he says here, "Even though I was all of these," Paul says, "but I obtained what? Because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. I obtained mercy." Where did Paul the Apostle obtain this mercy? He obtained it from the Lord. Right? Let's read on. In fact, I think the New International Version says, "I was shown mercy. For this reason, I was shown mercy." Verse 14, "And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and a worthy, a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy that in me first Christ Jesus might show all long suffering. The New International Version says unlimited patience or incredible patience. He says, as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. You know what Paul's saying there? The Lord showed Paul mercy as an example on what he would do to any other person that does not know Jesus, who is sinning in ignorance and in unbelief, and that he would show that mercy to prove to them that if he could save Paul the apostle by his mercy, by his grace, then he can save the rankest of sinners. Paul said, I am the chiefest of sinners. Now stop and let's stop and think about that. What did Paul do? He murdered people. He had people murdered. He consented. He was approving of, he was guilty by association of the murder of Stephen, a disciple of Jesus Christ. He was not one of the 12. He was one of those deacons that served the widows. Okay? But he was full of faith, he was full of the Holy Spirit, and yet Paul consented to his stoning. Paul stood there holding the coats of those who were throwing rocks, and he was approving and nodding his head yes. Now, my friend, if that is not mercy, I don't know what is. Paul was shown mercy. Now, let's stop and think. Have you been shown mercy? I believe that I'm shown mercy on a daily basis. In fact, Lamentations chapter 3, I believe it's verse 25, says, his mercies are new every morning. His mercies, God's mercies, are new every morning. Now, let's stop there, because that word new, I didn't learn it till about a year and a half ago, the word new doesn't mean, this is the way I always understood that verse in the book of Lamentations, that I get a fresh batch of what was yesterday's mercy. I get a fresh batch of mercy. I wake up to a fresh batch of mercy. That's not what that word new means in the Hebrew, in the Bible. It means a new, as in it's never existed before. Wow. So today's mercy that you and I woke up to does not even remotely resemble yesterday's mercy from God toward us. Whew, it's never existed before. Only God can pull that kind of bunny out of his hat. Amen? Now, I'm thankful that understanding of mercy, that it's today's mercy never has existed before. He's not giving me more of the same that he gave me yesterday. If that was the case, that would be enough. But God, who is always exceeding abundantly above all that we can ever dare to dream or even imagine, he goes over and beyond our expectations and gives us a mercy that's never existed. So let me say here, and let me be clear, God is a God of justice, but he's also a God of mercy. And his mercy, let me remind you, endures forever. Well, how can it not endure forever if you and I waked up to a new mercy from God that's never existed before? It's not like we're wearing on his mercies. He's like, he's not counting the days. You know, I've been merciful to you 10,000 days so far, and you keep doing some stupid things, boy or girl. It's not like that. We wake up to a fresh mercy that's never existed before. Awesome. Now, I've given you a lot just right off of that. So why should we show mercy? Because mercy, number one, has been shown to us. A mercy that's never existed before in our lives has been shown to us today. And tomorrow, should we wake up, by the grace of God, we will. We wake up, we'll have an even newer mercy that was not anything like today's mercy or anything like yesterday's mercy or anything like 10 years ago in our lives. So we show mercy, and let us always remember, church family, let us always remember we're shown mercy because mercy has been shown to us by our Heavenly Father. Always remember. Number two, I would much rather lean too heavily on mercy than lean too heavily on judgment. Amen? Now, why should we? Once again, if you and I were raised in church, I wasn't raised in church. I didn't start really. I mean, I went to church hit and miss every once in a blue moon. As a kid, my mom made me go to church to get my first Holy Communion and my confirmation and all that good stuff. But after that, I didn't darken the door of a church until I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And then I was at church every Sunday morning, every Wednesday evening. I was, truth told. I was, because I wanted God. I wanted God in my life. I wanted to learn and grow in the things of God. But for those of us who were raised in church, you know, it's easy to frown on other people who have not had our same background. And let me say here, and I say this in love, church family, or believing friends in Christ, I want to say this to you. If you were raised in a church and you avoided all kinds of pits and traps and temptation and snares and so forth, listen, it does not give us a right to look down on somebody who was not raised the same way you were. You're blessed. Other people have not come to Christ the way you came to Christ. In fact, some of you, and I feel led by the Holy Spirit to say this, some of you have been raised with spiritual silver spoons in your mouth. Don't let that get to your head. You've been privileged with a lot. Therefore, turn around and show mercy to those who haven't had that spiritual silver spoon. Amen? You know, it's easy to judge. Notice what Paul said. I sinned. I was arrogantly violent because I did what I did in ignorance, out of ignorance and unbelief. Do we give that much to people who were not raised in church, who are busting hell wide open, who do not know the Savior, who are on the path to destruction? Or do we frown on them? Do we look down on them? Do we demean them? Do we make snide remarks? You know, I don't like that. What I see in the body of Christ, I don't like. I don't like people using terms like, oh, they're shacking up. You know, it makes us feel better about ourselves. Well, while we put others down. But that says to me that you're insecure about yourself, and you're not secure enough in God's love. Because if you were secure enough in God's love, you wouldn't be making those kind of remarks. Yoo-hoo. Very important that we understand mercy and where it came from, how it was shown to us. You know, maybe God's mercy manifested in your life in this, that you had godly parents that raised you in a godly home and you avoided all kinds of pit stops. So we just have to watch ourselves. Reserve judgment. Reserve judgment. Okay? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew chapter 5. So Paul was shown mercy, and therefore it was his job and our job to show mercy. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to look at one of the Beatitudes. Matthew 5. Hope you're still with me. I've stepped on a few toes, but that's all right. We're learning how to have a covenantal loyalty to mercy. All right, let's read one verse of Scripture. This was kind of the the YouVersion of my little Bible app in my phone. Not very long ago, it was a verse of the day. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, the word blessed there in the Greek language is a Greek word makarios, which simply means this: to be happy, to be joyful, to be envied. Do you want to be happy? Do you want to be joyful? Do you want to be envied by others at your happiness? Where they say, what is it about them that they're happy? I want what they want. Well, if you want that kind of happiness, if you want that kind of joy, if you want to be quote-unquote envied by others, where they look at you and they say, man, they have such an abiding peace, they have such an abiding joy, I want what they want. You know, one of the prerequisites for that is be merciful. Be merciful. And what's the reward? You shall obtain mercy. Now listen here, buddy. I'm going to get up all in your Kool-Aid. We all will need mercy today, tomorrow, the day after, the week after, the month after, the year after, the decade after. It goes on and on. We will need mercy. But to have that mercy, according to Jesus, you must do what today? You must be merciful. Well, Pastor Joe, you lost me there, because I want mercy and I deserve mercy, but other people don't deserve mercy. I know I'm putting into words things that people, Christians, think, but they probably are a little too smart to even let out of their mouths. But they certainly think that thought, that I deserve mercy, but others don't deserve mercy. All right, let me break down mercy for you in an illustration, okay? Let me first say here, anytime you talk about grace and mercy, you have to first talk about justice. Justice is this: I get what I deserve. Justice is I get what I deserve. Let me clarify that even a little more. I get the bad that I deserve. Okay, so would you agree with me this morning that you and I deserve bad? Doesn't the Bible say the wages of sin is death? Right? So what do we deserve? If we don't ever tell the Lord you want justice. Because you're going to be poof, gone, missing without a trace. All right? We don't want justice. Jesus bore justice on our behalf. God revented his wrath on his son, so that you and I would not have to have the justice that we deserve. So justice is getting the bad that you and I deserve. And let me say here, whether you were raised in a church or not, baby, you deserve bad. All right? You deserve bad. I deserve bad. Because all have sinned, church upbringing or no church upbringing, and all fall short. Fall meaning present tense. I still fall short of God's glory. What is God's glory? Of God's perfect goodness. You fall short of God's perfect goodness. Are you perfect like God is perfect? No, I'm not. I won't be. And you won't be. And you'll need mercy. You need mercy now. You'll need mercy today. You'll need mercy all of tomorrow, all of the next day, so on and so forth. Okay, so that's justice. Justice is getting me, you getting the bad that we deserve. Listen, mercy is you and me not getting the bad that we deserve. Not getting the bad that you deserve, and me not getting the bad that I deserve. Would you say that in Christ we have been shown mercy like Paul was? Oh, absolutely. The fact that I'm alive and healthy and, you know, I'm not lacking anything in food or whatever in my life, and I'm quite content in my life, says that I've been shown mercy. So mercy, while just as is me getting the bat that I deserve, mercy is me and you not getting the bat that we deserve. And then grace is me getting the good from God that I don't deserve. See it? Grace is us getting the good that God has in store for us that you and I don't deserve. So let's go over it again, all right? I know I sound redundant, but I want to make this clear. Justice, we get the bat that we deserve. Mercy, we don't get the bat that we deserve. Grace, we get the good that we don't deserve. All right? Now, I'm going to illustrate it, and it'll make a little more sense to you. You know, many years ago, I was taking my youth pastor at the time. It was, actually, the year was 2007, so that's, what, 14 years ago? Long time. And I was driving, my youth pastor at the church that I was serving was driving with me, and behind me was my ex-wife and my three daughters. Our three daughters were riding in what was, at the time, my oldest daughter's vehicle. Now, it was a very good vehicle. It ran well, but it did not have any zip like my car had zip. You know what I mean? 0 to 60, and my car was about 5 seconds. It was not, but it could get around and negotiate, you know, traffic quite well. The car that I was driving, the car that my ex was driving, not so much. Okay? And so what happened was we were taking a road trip to another town to go see some friends and such. And I noticed that when I tried to pass traffic, it was effortless for me to pass traffic. But for her, my ex, in my oldest daughter's car, it was much more difficult. And there was one time that she decided to risk passing someone because I had passed them, and I should have been nicer. I should have driven slower. I should have just been patient in my driving, but you know, thankfully that's out of my system, and how many of y'all know that I need mercy for that comment. So my ex tried to pass someone. Well, because that car did not have the zip that mine did, it caused some oncoming traffic in the next lane. It was just a two-lane highway. And in the next lane, to have to drive on the shoulder of the passing lane that she was driving on, because it took her a while to clear the car, to pass the car that she was trying to pass. In the meantime, cars coming this way toward her had to go off in the shoulder. Well, I was like thinking, oh gosh, I just went like this and I just kept on driving. Well, we were driving into a town, and I noticed that, well, I'm driving slower because I'm driving into the town. Behind me is my ex, and all of a sudden there are all these SUVs, marked police SUVs, that begin following her. Uh-oh. Apparently what happened, somebody called and reported her for reckless driving. Well, okay, so I'm trying to get her attention by waving at the rearview mirror saying, pull over, pull over, pull over. Well, she's not paying attention. So I decide to pull over, and then I thought, if I pull over, she'll pull over. Well, she pulls over next to me, and then all these cars just come on her. There were about 3 or 4 marked SUVs. I thought they were going to come out with their guns drawn. It was that dramatic of an event. And then I'm with my youth pastor, remember, and then so the cop walks up to the window. She rolls down her window, and they begin talking. And apparently what happened, the cop decided to just give her a verbal warning and let her off the hook. And I'm like, wow, that is what is known as mercy. She did not get the bad that she deserved, even though it was my fault, to be truthful. She didn't get the bad that she deserved, because justice would have been her getting a ticket for a large amount, because that's called justice, we getting the bad that we deserve. Well, she was shown mercy by the cop. She didn't get the bad that she deserved. And so she told me, she said, you know what, you guys just go on without me. Incidentally, but when all that happened, my youth pastor kind of goes like this, praise Jesus, that she didn't get the ticket. And so I went on without her, and I just drove my fast way and left them all behind. They knew from there how to get to the town we were going toward. And then several miles after that, I'd say about 10, 15 miles after that, then I'm pulled over by a cop for speeding. And there I am. And he says, sir, do you know you were driving this far above the speed limit? I said, yes, sir, I do. He's like, please wait here, sir. May I have your driver's license? So he goes, he spends what seemed like an eternity in his police car, comes back, and he's writing me a ticket. At that precise moment, God is my witness, my ex and my daughters drive by, and they honk at me while I'm sitting in the car pulled over by a cop who's writing me a ticket, and my head just goes... See, that cop was not nice to me. He didn't show me mercy. He showed me justice. That ticket, I got the bad that I deserved. All right, does that make sense with justice and mercy? Now, grace would have been had he pulled me over and he said, well, you know, you were speeding at such and such, your speed was this, and the law says this is the limit. But let me, hold on a second, I'll be back. And he comes back and he takes out a wad of cash and he gives me $150 and he says, here, that would be known as grace. I got good that I didn't deserve. All right. Anyway, just wanted to give you that. Now, go with me. We're going to, our last verse of scripture, important that we look at this. James chapter 2, please. Notice what the Bible says. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Now, church family, we're going to need mercy sooner or later. So mercy is all about a boomerang effect, isn't it? If I show mercy and continue to show mercy, mercy will be shown to me and continually be shown to me by others. But if I don't show mercy, mercy will not be shown to me. You know, I have found sometimes on occasion you hear about all these celebrity rivalries and dumb things that celebrities do or say. You know, there's a country singer, Morgan, I don't know if it's Morgan Wallen, whatever his name is, but he used a racial slur, and now he's in hot water, and all that stuff. You know, I've found that if a person has been merciful to others leading up to their mistake or their error, that I've proven over time, and I've seen or read about, that particular celebrity will be shown mercy because they themselves were shown mercy all along. But the person who was judgmental continually leading up to their mistake, their downfall, judgment is normally shown to them. Why? Because what Jesus said is true. Be merciful and you will be shown mercy. Now, James chapter 2, very, very important that we read this. Verse 13, one verse. Judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Notice, judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Now listen, I don't know about you. I think I know about you. I don't want to be the guy that was judgmental all along, and when I needed mercy, I did not receive mercy because all I had shown up to that point in my life was judgment, judgment, judgment. Critical spirit, critical spirit, critical spirit. Negative, negative, negative. Put down, put down, put down. prejudging people. Not listen to me, church family. If you're prone to prejudging, what is prejudging? You coming to a conclusion, a rash conclusion about someone without knowing all the facts. This is why judgment should only be reserved for the Lord. He knows all. He sees all. He weighs the intents of the heart. All you know is just one little bit of information. You don't know all the story. And sadly, in the rumor mill or with gossip, when gossip is circulated, unfortunately, the first story in wins. Unfortunately, the first person you hear gossip from, well, it's got to be true because this is your first exposure to it. But down the line, when you get all the facts, how many of us have ever been proven wrong? I have too many times. To where I just slow down. I try to slow down my judgment reflexes. I do. And I try to leave it to God. Because of this, listen, judgment will be without mercy for those who have shown no mercy. And that verse finishes with, mercy triumphs over judgment. So I want to finish with this thought, leave this thought with you in loving mercy. Are you triumphing in mercy? Or are you triumphing in judgment? Because if you're showing mercy, your mercy will triumph over judgment. But if you're showing judgment when it's your turn to receive that mercy, and we just prove that we need it every day, then judgment will triumph over mercy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for teaching us by your word, by your spirit. Help us to understand, Lord, to be merciful, to grow in this quality, to be committed in this quality, Lord, because mercy has a boomerang effect in our lives. If we show mercy, we will be shown mercy. But if we show judgment continually, judgment will be shown us without mercy. Help us to understand that, Lord. We're not above this law of the universe. That what we sow, we will reap. If we sow mercy continually, we're going to reap a harvest of mercy. But if we keep sowing judgmental seed, we will reap a harvest of judgment. And Lord, we want a crop failure of judgment, of a harvest of judgment, Lord. We want a harvest of mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.